Our New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite Mark to join us, and he is going to share. Mark, over.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Ascension Day. Or in the words of Lee's Thursday message on the choir WhatsApp group, hallelujah. Christ is ascended. I always thought that perhaps Ascension Day doesn't get the attention it warrants. Our daughter Amy and her family moved to Paris. And as you may know, France is a sort of strictly secular country on the face of it. Church and state are separated. And there are rules that you can't wear any religious symbols at school, for example. But despite all this, they seem to manage to retain an awful lot of religious holidays, including a day off for the Ascension last Thursday. So Amy, in common with lots of families, have added the Friday and gone away for a long weekend. And I looked online. Apparently, 44 other countries around the world celebrate Ascension Day, including, oddly, Indonesia, which is a Muslim country, but of course not here in the UK. But I think it's important to mark Ascension Day as an essential part of Jesus' story. Creation, Jesus was present at creation. Without him was made nothing that was made. Two, the incarnation, Jesus coming to earth as in human form, God revealed to us. Three, the crucifixion and his death on the cross. Jesus offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. We're saved, our sins are forgiven. We can enter into a relationship with God. Four, the resurrection. Death is conquered and we have the hope of eternal life. And now number five, 40 days on from Easter Sunday, Ascension, when Jesus returns to his Father in heaven. There is, of course, a number six, which we'll come on to later. So, to look at our passage today, comes right at the start of the book of Acts, written by Luke as a continuation, really, of his gospel, which itself ends with a brief account of the Ascension, here fleshed out in more detail. Luke reminds us that the gospel recorded everything that Jesus did and taught, coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we can read about in Acts chapter 2, is foretold. Luke also records that during that 40 days from Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared to the apostles on many occasions. These weren't just idle tales, because there were convincing proofs of those happenings. And what proved to be the last of those appearances, the disciples had gathered with Jesus. And as they were watching, Jesus was lifted up and a great cloud took him from their sight. So I think there's two points we could take from the fact of the resurrection. One, great reassurance, and the other, something of a challenge. So firstly, the reassurance. Looking back into John's Gospel, chapter 14, the words of Jesus often used at funerals, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" And in Mark's typically brief account of the resurrection, he says, "Jesus was taken into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." It is confirmed by Paul in his letter to the Romans. "It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us." Wow. Just think on that for a moment. Jesus right now, in this minute, sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for me, praying for you, praying for us, praying for the church. What an amazing thing to hold on to. And that will help us with second point, which is the challenge. As the disciples, having witnessed the ascension, were standing there gazing upwards in awe and wonder, two angels bring them back to something like reality. "Why are you standing around looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go." The angels say, "Well, yes, you've just witnessed an amazing event. Yes, Jesus will come again," which we can read more about in the book of Revelation, for example. "But as to Jesus coming again, Jesus himself said, it's not for us to know the time and the place. So in the meantime, it's over to you guys, to me and you, because we have a part to play in Jesus' story between that number 5, the ascension, and number 6, the second coming." Jesus promising that the disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, commissions them. What does he say? "They're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we know, if we read the whole book of Acts, that's what happened. It contains a story of everything the apostles did, preaching, healing, spreading the word, making new congregations. And so the church was founded, began to grow, as it grows to this day. And we're in the same position. Yes, we too can rejoice in Jesus' death, his resurrection and glorious ascension. But remember that we too have the same commission as those first disciples. We are to be witnesses in Hamwell, in London, in the UK, and wherever life takes us. It's in whatever way, big or small, by telling our stories, by telling how Jesus has made a difference to our lives, makes a difference to the way we live, where he has helped us on our journey of faith or our journey of life. As Helen said last week, it doesn't have to be a missionary journey, although, why not? But just can be part of what we do day by day. simple as inviting someone to a church event or sharing our faith in a gentle way. I just wanted to share a couple of personal examples. As parents and grandparents or uncles or aunts or whatever, we always hope that our children, our grandchildren, our relatives, our friends will come to faith or come back to faith. And yeah, we wonder what we can do to affect that. So some of you know, a few years ago, us at St Andrew went through a really difficult time, difficult for us as well. Always brought our children along to church. They got on Christian summer camps. Andrew had been in his school's Christian Union. Now, in this difficult time, he was saying, when we went out on a walk together, a quite heavy conversation, "You know, I'm not sure I can believe in this idea of life after death and all that stuff." Put me on the spot. I mean, how could I respond suitably to someone who'd studied theology at university? But I think God gave me the right words. "Well, all I can say right now, Andrew, is that my faith and the church have helped me through some difficult times. And it works for me." When he went through another difficult patch more recently, as well as asking some practical advice, he said, "Can you please pray?" He's doing fine at the moment, doing fine now. The family in France don't go to church regularly. We've tried to bring our granddaughter Isla to church when she's in town. A few months ago, she asked Amy, "Oh, could you watch some stories about Jesus on YouTube?" So I sent her over the Christening Bible, which I found at the back of one of our bookshelves. And on WhatsApp the other day, she said, "You know, Granddad, I do believe in Jesus Christ because he was kind and lovely and strong. He was very kind to lots of people." So who knows how that will pan out. And just like the disciples who could never have foreseen the results of their actions, so we may never know what fruits will come from the small seeds we sow today. And if we feel a bit daunted, well, let's remember, firstly, like the disciples, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to inspire, strengthen, and empower us. Secondly, we know that Jesus himself sits at the right hand of the Father and is praying for us, having ascended into heaven. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Thank you, Mark.